Amen and good evening to you. Good to be back here in the house of the Lord tonight. And I told you this morning that I was starting two brand new sermon series. This morning we started looking at the life of Elijah, and tonight we're going to be talking about the prison experiences in the Word of God. So let's go to Genesis chapter 39 this morning, or this evening, Genesis chapter 39. We'll begin in verse 20. If you are able to, would you stand for the reading of God's word? Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 through 22, and then we'll go to chapter number 41, verse 14. So let's start in Genesis chapter 39, read from verse 20 to 22. Bible says there in Genesis 39, 20, And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now let's jump to chapter number 41, and we'll look at verse number 14. The Bible says in chapter 41, verse 14, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh." Tonight we want to start this prison experiences of the Bible, and I want to entitle this message, "The Prison of His Promotions." The Prison of His Promotions. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you again for another great day, Lord. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's a beautiful day, and Lord, I just thank you for the ability to come tonight. Father, thank you for our praising time of song, and Lord, I pray that you'll be with us now as we look into your word. Father, I pray that we'll glean from the truths of it, and tonight I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know they're on their way to heaven, help tonight be the night that they know for sure. Lord, we love you. We give this time to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the striking things about the law of the Lord is the fact that God authorized no prisons among his people. You ever know, if you ever read back in the law of God, back in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, you never see that God talked about that there ought to be prisons set up. When a person committed a crime in Israel, their punishment was swift and sure. We know what the punishment was. It was to be a punishment that fit for their crime. Yet throughout history, kings and other rulers have built prisons to contain political enemies and lawbreakers. This is still true in our day and age, obviously, today. But even though God did not order his people to build any prisons, he did allow some of his choice servants to spend some time in dungeons in their day. In fact, a few of God's men met their deaths even in their prison cells. And when God allowed one of his servants to go into the prison, it wasn't because they were criminals. It wasn't because they had broken some kind of law. God sent each of those special prisoners to their prison because he wanted to teach them some lessons that we could learn now ourselves, I believe. And they couldn't even learn those lessons anywhere else. And I believe that it's worth some time to consider these prison experiences that are found in the Word of God, because I believe they have some things to teach us about God. With that in mind, I want to look at Joseph tonight and his prison experience. Our text tonight tells us that of one of the greatest characters in the Old Testament and his own prison experience. I understand we went through the life of Joseph previously, but Joseph pictures the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. He was definitely a portrait of Jesus, but I can tell you that he was in the Pharaoh's prison here. Now, why was Joseph in prison? Well, as we know, we read the story before. Potiphar's wife said that he committed sin with her. He tried to lay with her. However, we understand that Potiphar's wife was the one in the wrongdoing here. But we see that he left his garment. He got out of the house there, and she called the servants. She called her husband, and she told the lie to them and said that the Hebrew who you brought in tried to lie with me. He tried to do this, and Potiphar put him into prison. However, you know, you would think, why wasn't he executed? I mean, this was a crime that was probably could have been sought for execution. Joseph was in prison because Potiphar wanted to punish him, but in reality, Joseph was there because God wanted to promote him. We'll see that Potiphar put him there under the, I believe God was behind that, amen? I believe God was definitely in the works behind the scenes, and God used a time of this time in prison in the life of Joseph to prepare him for leadership by sending him to that prison. Now, I'm interested in Joseph's prison experience because I can find that God will often do the same thing in your life and in my life. He will have a plan to promote us to a greater level of service, but the path will often lead through some prison experiences one way or another. God's path for us will lead us through a time when we are shut off, when we're shut down, when we're shut away, or we're shut up. Now, it is these prison experiences of life that God prepares us for a greater service and a greater responsibility. And I want to take a few minutes tonight and look at Joseph's prison experience, and then we can glean some truths from the passage that we read tonight. I want you to notice, number one, that his prison experience was, there was the problems of this prison. There was problems in the prison. Now, I've never been to prison, and I've never been there, but I understand that a prison is not a place that you want to be. It's not an enjoyable place. It's not a time, you know, it's not like on the Andy Griffith Show where Otis could go in anytime he wants to and, you know, have a big meal or a nice bed. It's not like that at all. But I could tell you that it's a place full of problems. Joseph's prison is no different here tonight. In Joseph's prison, we see some problems that we can expect when God sends us into a prison experience in our life as well. I see this was a painful prison. Let's look back in verse number 20 of chapter 39. Chapter 39, verse number 20, our opening verse tonight says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison." It says there in that phrase that Joseph was put into prison. But there's no mention of torture or of abusive treatment. However, if you look in Genesis chapter 40, verse number 3, just a few verses down, it says there, "And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, that the place where Joseph was," what's the next word? "Bound." He was bound. He wasn't just put into the prison. He was bound up in prison. And also in Psalm chapter number 105, verse number 18, it adds even greater detail. Let's go to Psalm chapter 105, verse number 18. Hold your place here because we're coming back. Psalm 105, verse number 18. Psalm 105, verse number 18, let's go to verse 17, actually. Let's say verse 17. "He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron." See, it goes into more detail that this wasn't really a pleasant experience for Joseph here. You know, when all this is considered, it becomes clear that this was a painful time in Joseph's life. Now, it's never easy when the Lord sends you into a prison experience in your life. And I know you may not physically go into a prison, but I could tell you that you may go through some hard times in your life. By the way, you will go through hard times in life. It's just life. It happens. But can I tell you that God never promised us as his children that serving him would be painless? If somebody ever told you that this Christian life is going to be a cake, it's going to be so easy, that you're going to get whatever you want, that person lied to you. Can I tell you, it's going to be a hard time. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some things that you have no idea what God's going to throw your way or what's going to come. But can I tell you that it is still the most rewarding life that you will ever live? Can I tell you that there's some prison experiences in life because they're there because they want to teach us a lesson? I believe that Joseph was being prepared for the leadership that he's going to, and we know that he didn't stay in that prison, did he? He stayed in that prison for a little while. But God was teaching him some things. And then eventually, we see in Genesis chapter 41, when we read that tonight, that Pharaoh called for him and Joseph came out of the prison. And we see that he interpreted the dream there. And I know we've gone through that the life of Joseph before, but we see that because he told the dream, and by the way, God gave him that ability to do it. But we see that Pharaoh elevated him. But there were times in his life that there was painful times. And I can tell you that there will be times in our life where there will be some painful things come our way. But I can tell you that I believe they're there for a reason. You know, some of God's most choice servants in the Word of God have been shaped. And there's been some harsh avail of pain. Think about Job. I think if anybody had pain, it was Job. Job lost everything. He lost his children, his life, he lost his health, his livestock. He lost everything he had, but he had a great attitude. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And we see that God blessed him greatly after that. We see that God gave him back what he lost and more. And I'm grateful that Job had a great attitude for it. But I see that Paul had a great attitude as well, even when he was being persecuted. We just finished the life of David. You think of David, he was hunted, he was hounded by Saul without a good reason, but yet he still kept going for the Lord. And we're going through the life of Elijah now in 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19. We'll see more about that on Sunday mornings, but I could tell you that it wasn't an easy life for Elijah either. Can I tell you that it has been said that those that God would use greatly, he first hurts deeply. So we should not be surprised when we find ourselves locked away in a prison experience. Because I could tell you that we are not the first ones to go through a cell of affliction. By the way, we won't be the last one as well. Can I tell you that there may be times that come in our life that, why is this happening in my life? Why do I have to go through this? It may be God's trying to teach you something, folks. It may be that God is trying to grow you in some area. But there's a pain in this prison, but there's also a perplexing prison. This is a perplexing prison. Nowhere in this passage are we ever told that Joseph questioned anything that happened in his life. Boy, I could tell you, I have no idea, but if I was in Joseph's shoes, I would probably want to know why this stuff was happening to me. I mean, you got to think, surely he had to question why his brothers hated him so much. You got to think, why did he end up as a slave in Egypt? Why was he punished for doing the right thing? Surely those questions must have perplexed his mind at one point in time. One of the problems of this prison is that it can be so perplexed in nature. You know, I mean, you try to do your best in living the life for the Lord, don't you? You try to live life and still trouble comes your way. This is troubled. This is a troubling truth for many people. And some are even maybe blown off the course when a trial comes in their life and they're forced to endure. They may say that, what's the point of going on? What's the use of living for the Lord if things are just going to go wrong in my life? By the way, that's the wrong attitude to have when a trial comes in our life. It's the wrong attitude to just give up on it. Can I tell you that we may not understand everything that's happening in this life, but we can be sure that the Lord is in control of the situation. He's absolutely in control. And you know, that I heard this illustration, and I know this could be said for probably some people around the world today, but there were some parents who lost their little child in a tragic accident. They both were very bitter at God. And when the pastor came by to see them, the mother said, "Where was God when my son died?" The pastor then replied, "He was at the same place when his son died as well." Can I tell you that when we take that attitude, we are mistaken. You see, even though the prisons of life are disturbing, they're distracting, they are a part of the plan that we know nothing about. Can I tell you, God is using hard, harsh events in our life sometimes to shape us and to move us where He wants us. Can I tell you that? And by the way, we need them too, amen? We sometimes need harsh lessons. It's a good plan. I believe it's the best plan because it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What we should be doing is to serve the Lord even when we don't understand what He's doing. By the way, we have no right to say, God, what are you doing? He's God. He don't have to tell you what He's doing. He knows, we don't owe us anything. He don't owe us anything, folks. We owe Him everything. Amen. Can I tell you that He will get done when He wants to get done? And you know, I could tell you it's always the best plan. Amen. That you know, I may not know what's going on, but I could tell you that I know God knows better for my life than I know for my life. You know, there are people that have this mindset that they think that they know what's best for their life. No, they don't. They have no idea. They have no idea what God has in store for them. Can I tell you, it's better to live a life on God's terms than it is on your terms. Regardless of what life brings our way, what we need to do is to submit to His will. Trust Him to do right. That's what Joseph did. That's what Joseph did in this life. That's what Paul did as well. And this is what we ought to be doing. I see that is a prolonged prison as well. We don't, you know, I believe Joseph was in a prison for he was in there for a few years. And it was at least 2 years, as it says in Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. But it may have been longer. We have no idea exactly the amount of time, but we know for sure that from the time Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers until the day that he came to be second ruler of Egypt, that has been 13 years at least. Can I tell you, for an extended period of this man's life, you know, he had it rough. He had it rough. But sometimes in our life, our trials are over maybe in a short time. And we like for it to be just short, don't we? We don't want trials to last a long time. But other times, they may last for years. You know, God may spend many years shaping your life for a relatively short period of service. He may send you into a prison experience in your life to prepare you for a greater service. You know, it took at least 15 years from the time of David was anointed king over Israel until he ruled over the land. We saw that back in 1 Samuel 16, 2 Samuel 5. Those 15 years, they were hard years on his life, but they were years of development. They were years of preparation. David was forced to walk through some hard places, but God used that time in his life to develop David to sit on the throne of the land. And we see that he was a man after God's own heart. We see that God, he wasn't perfect, but God, he still had a good relationship with God. Now, regardless of how long or how short our prison experiences are in our lives, our duty is to submit to God and do His will for our lives. There was a quote that was once said. It says, "It is a fact of Christian experience that life is a series of thoughts and peaks, or troughs and peaks. In his efforts to get permanent possession of the soul, God relies on the troughs more than the peaks. And some of his special favorites have gone through longer and deeper troughs than anyone else." Can I tell you that there may be times where you have to go through some things? But I believe it's for a greater purpose, folks. You know, there have been times in my life where God has brought me through some prison experiences. And I'm grateful for those experiences because I grew to trust the Lord more. Can I tell you that don't look at those experiences, those trials in your life and thinking, woe is me. Why do I have to go through this? I'm just going to give up. Use those experiences and learn from them. Try to get something out of them. I can tell you they're there for a reason, folks. Number two tonight. The provisions of this prison. This prison, it's a place of problems, but it's also a place filled with God's provisions. You know, He may send us into some prison experiences, but He never sends us there alone. Amen. He never sends us there alone. He doesn't send us without resources that we will need to survive and to thrive in that prison. I noticed that God gave Joseph his presence. You think about, we're told in Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. Let's go back to our scripture. Verse number 21. I love this verse, don't you? But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Even though Joseph was thrown into the prison, God was with him. Amen. God was with him all the way. The Lord was with him. That young man went into that prison experience, but he did not go in it and through it alone. The God who sent him there went with him to that awful place. Now, regardless of the nature of the prison experience that you may face in your life, remember this, that God will go with you through them. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I think of Noah. When it came time for Noah to enter the ark, God didn't say, go into the ark. You know what he said? He said, come into the ark. Come into the ark. You know, I believe God was in there with him. Amen. God was in there with Noah. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace, they found the Lord was already in there. Amen. You know, God goes through times of trials with us. He goes with us. And it may seem like God's not there with us, but can I tell you, that's because we're not listening for him. We're not looking for him. We're going through it and we're saying, why am I going through this? But we're not listening and we're not looking for God. But I can tell you, he's there with us. He's there. And I can tell you that I'm grateful that God goes through it with us, because I know I can't go through the troubles and trials alone. I need God to help me through it. Amen. I need God with this. I notice the provisions of God's peace as well. Do you notice in that passage, Genesis chapter 39, verse 21, it says, and showed him mercy. Man, you know what mercy means? It means loving kindness there. In other places in the Old Testament, it carries the same idea in the New Testament as grace. You know, in other words, God gave Joseph power and the strength that he needed in the prison that he was forced to face. By the way, he'll do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing. You know, he gave Paul a promise in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Can I tell you that there will be grace, there will be peace, there will be power sufficient for you to go through the trials that you were called upon to face in this life. I'm grateful that God gives us grace. Amen. I'm grateful that God gives us the ability to go through trials. But I can tell you there's a provision of God's promotion as well. Verses 21, and then we read chapter 41, verse 14, tells us that even in prison, God was busy using Joseph for his glory. Amen. Even in that horrible, dark, cold dungeon, locked away with all the vigilant criminals of Egypt. Joseph did nothing wrong, by the way. But Joseph shone like a star in that prison. He was elevated. We see in verse number 21 that he found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. We see that Joseph, because Joseph submitted to the will of God in the prison experience of life, God elevated him and used him for his glory. We see that the prison keeper, we see in verse number 22, when the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. We see Joseph went from being just an ordinary prisoner down on the lows to the second in command in the prison. He was even though that seems like it's not very much, but I can tell you that it was a good place to be. God elevated him. And can I tell you that God does not send us, he won't send us into a prison to put us there eternally. He won't send us there to bury us. He sends us there to prepare us for an even greater things of his work. He always allows you to suffer a time of being shut up or shut off or shut up. But I can tell you, he does it to grow you into his image and more clearly seen in your life. By the way, this is what God is doing in our lives when you go through that prison experience. You know the song, How Firm a Foundation? Listen to one of those verses. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Boy, God sends you in. He'll send you into a furnace. Like, you know, like gold is refined. You know how gold is refined? It's put through a fire, isn't it? Sometimes God will put you through the fire. Maybe not a physical fire, but he'll put you through things because it's there to shape you and to mold you. And I can tell you, it's for a more greater cause. It's for his glory. So we see that Joseph went through some pretty bad things. But he had God's provisions as well. God provided for him. But number three tonight, and lastly, we see the privileges of this prison. The privileges of this prison. We see the problems that make the prison difficult. We see the provisions that make them bearable. But we also see that there's privileges that we find in prisons of life that cause them to become places of growth and blessings. I noticed there was the privilege of God's plan. Now, what kept Joseph going? I believe what kept Joseph going through those dark days of his life, I believe it was the sure knowledge that God was working a good plan for his life. You know, many years before, remember how Joseph had those dreams? Remember how God gave him the dreams? God told him that Joseph was going to come out on top. During those brokenhearted days when he was betrayed, when he was sold into slavery, when he was in the prison, can I tell you that Joseph was waiting for God to do what he said he was going to do? Then, during the years when he was in that dark prison, Joseph kept on believing and kept on waiting. He knew that God made him a promise and that God would keep it. Then the day came. The day came, they called him out of prison, brought him before Pharaoh, as it says in Genesis 41, verse 14. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams and was made the second ruler of the kingdom. Boy, you talk about going from one of the lowest of the low to the very top very quickly. Can I tell you that Joseph had suffered greatly while God worked out his plan, but he remained faithful and he saw God's plan fulfilled in his life. Now, we may not understand this, but when God puts us through some prison experiences in our lives, he has honored us. Can I tell you, it's an honor to be counted part of God's plan. Amen. I'm serving God, and I'm very grateful that he chooses to use me. I wouldn't rather be anywhere else, folks. Whatever the pleasures of this world could give me, it's nothing compared to what God is already doing in my life. Boy, I'm so happy to be where I'm at today. I wouldn't change it for the world. But I tell you, it's a privilege to be counted a part of God's plan. You know, I'm reminded, and it just came to me today. I heard Brother Duke was just here last week. I believe they just headed out this afternoon. They're going to Fundamental tonight, but they were at Gospel Light this morning. Yesterday, we were here at the men's prayer breakfast, and he came, he ate, but he said, "I'm going to work today." And I thought he meant he was going to come work with us. But that's not what he meant. He said, "I'm going to go soul winning today." By the way, I believe that's good for a missionary to come out and go soul winning. Hey, you know, he's on furlough. He can go to churches. Hey, that man went out soul winning with us, and he went out with them this last couple weeks. I tell you what, though, God honors that. Because today, I found out that they went out Saturday, and him and Pastor Scott from Gospel Light, they went out on Saturday, and they didn't get, like, almost anybody coming to the door. All they did was leave tracks, and which, you know, he said, "We're just planting the seed. It's okay." But they came to this one house. They didn't answer the people didn't answer the door. They left the track on the house. They went back. They went to another house, and then they started walking back. The door was open. Brother Duke God pressed it upon his heart to go up to that door again. He went to the door and he found out that these people were Mexican. Hey, he's from Mexico. Amen. You don't tell me that's a coincidence. It's there for a reason. You know what he did? He started speaking Spanish to the lady there. Long story short, that he led that lady to Christ yesterday. Amen. Can I tell you what? It's not a coincidence what you have to go through, folks. Can I tell you that there have been times in his life that he had to go through some things? We had another missionary here, Brother Brad Hastings. Remember how he said sometimes there was times where he did not know where his next meal was going to come from? You know what? He still trusted the Lord, and he's still been on the field for these many years. Why? Because he trusted God. Can I tell you that people who trust God, the people who have faith that God's going to get them through, people that are staying fast, they're going to stay true to the Lord. Can I tell you that God's going to bless you, folks? Can I tell you that you're not going to stay in that prison experience for long? It may be years. It may be a long time. But can I tell you that God's going to bring you out and he's going to elevate you and he's going to use you? Boy, I'm grateful that God chooses to use people like us, aren't you? Boy, I'm so grateful. We may not understand why God's putting through us those prison experiences, but I believe he's doing it for our greater purpose, for a greater good. He does not just save us to keep us out of hell, by the way. You know, when we got saved, we ought to go and tell others. Amen? Amen. We ought to bring others to Christ. You know, my wife reminded me of this. We were listening to the service. We went back and listened to that service this morning. Brother Scott said they had four people come out to soul winning. That's the same number we had this last Saturday. Can I tell you that we need people to go soul winning? I understand you can't make it and stuff, but look, really and truly, we have an organized event because we don't do it in the middle of the week. Can I tell you that we need to be going out and soul winning every single day of our lives? Now, I'm not saying that you have to go. I understand you got to work, but hey, there's people. That's a soul winning field right there, isn't it? There's people in your workplace that need to know the Lord. There are people in your whatever your occupation, wherever you go to the store, there are people there that need to know the Lord. And can I tell you, Joseph, he didn't just sit there and he just didn't pout in the prison, did he? No, he didn't. He trusted the Lord and God elevated him. Sometimes you need to serve where you're put. Amen. You need to serve where you're put. And you may be in a prison experience today, but look, serve God regardless of that prison experience. You know what? I'm saved today, and I'm grateful today because somebody thought it was important to come to me. And you know what? I'm saved today also because I know I'm important to the Lord. Can I tell you, you're important to God? He loved me. He has a plan for me. And so there may be some difficult paths in my life. There have been difficult paths in my life. You may can testify to the path to where you are today wasn't easy to get to. But aren't you glad that he's still working out a plan for you? Aren't you glad he's still there with you? What my duty is to submit to him, do his will. So we have the privilege of his plan, but we also have the privilege of God's praise. Joseph's careful to give all the glory to the Lord. Let's look in chapter 40, verse number 8. Chapter number 40, verse number 8. Genesis 40, verse 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. He didn't say, I can interpret dreams. He didn't say that. He says, interpretations belong to God. He says, God is the one who can interpret this dream. I'm just going to be used by it, basically. You know, it's a privilege of God's praise. And he was careful to give the glory to the Lord. He knows that God had been working in his life so that God could get the glory in his name. God did things he did in Joseph's life so that he might develop Joseph, so that he might use Joseph to show the greatness and the glory of God. Can I tell you that Pharaoh and his nation were introduced to the God of Israel here? And all because Joseph was submissive to the Lord. That's what the Lord is doing in our lives as well. He sends us into a place where we don't like to grow us, but he also uses us to bring more glory to him. And since that is true, and since our heart's desire ought to be to be for his glory, there is no greater thing we can do than to submit to his will for our lives. Even when we don't understand what he's doing. It's a privilege to serve God tonight. It's not a burden, it's a privilege. Can I tell you also, we have the privilege of God's providence. In the end, Joseph saw every promise of the Lord fulfilled. And he came to understand that all the pain that he went through served to glorify God. He grew Joseph, and that is all the good work in his life. He had all the good works in his life. And because Joseph was obedient, because Joseph was submissive, God was able to save the nation of Israel and the family of Joseph. Joseph's brothers that sold him into slavery, remember we talked about it, they tried to get rid of him.
But God orchestrated everything to save that bloodline of the Messiah. He came back. They reconciled with each other, and they had a good life the rest of their life. Can I tell you that it may have been bad in that times, but God brought it back to where they were face to face with each other, and they got the relationship right again. In our lives, God's going to send us into some places when faith is going to have to be the reason that we cannot even wave. Can I tell you, during those times, we are going to have to trust God. We can't trust in anybody else, folks. We got to trust in God when we go through those trials. You see, when all Joseph could see was a pit, Potiphar's house, the prison, God could see the palace down the road. And can I tell you that he knows what he's doing in your life. He knows what he's doing in my life. He knows where he's taking me, and he knows all about the plans that he has for me. And he knows what he's preparing in my life. Sometimes I don't know why I go through things. I don't know why I can see prison experiences, but I must trust that the Lord sees what's better. He sees great things ahead. Let me share with you true great prison promises here. These two verses, I believe they'll sustain you in your prison. We've already read Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know all things work together for good. All things, not some things, all things. And then Psalm chapter 138, verse 8, it says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." Many years ago, Martin Luther made this statement: "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree and pay my debts." That's a simple statement, but it says a lot about his life as well. He was saying, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to do the right things, and I'm going to keep on serving God, is basically what he was saying there. You see, those who don't serve God in the prisons of life won't be fit to serve him in the palaces of life later. Can I tell you that if you don't serve him going through trials, you don't deserve to serve him through the pleasures of life. Can I tell you that we need to serve him when we go through hard times as well? You know, it's easy to serve him when things are going good, aren't they? It's so easy to serve him when things are going okie-dokie in our lives. But it's during those times of trials when it really shows where our faith lies, when it really shows who we trust in. Can I encourage you, if you're going through something tonight, can I just encourage you to endure through it? Hey, God never said that he's going to steer us clear of those prison experiences, trials of our lives, did he? But he says he's going to be there through us, with us. Amen? I'm grateful that he goes through it with us. And tonight I encourage you, if you are going through something, remember this, you're not alone in it. God's there with you. God's going to get you through, but you've got to trust in him. Maybe tonight, what are you going through? Are you rebelling against that prison experience? Are you submitting to it? Can I tell you, God's got you there for a reason. He's using that prison as a tool of preparation for a future promotion. Has the Lord spoken to you tonight? I encourage you, if he has, I encourage you, there's an altar tonight. I know you can pray at your seat, but there's something about coming to the altar and giving over everything to the Lord. Can I tell you tonight that we need to trust God more, even in the prison experiences in life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the night.